So I'm so excited that Brittany Price Brooker is going to come, and she's going to come up as I share this, and then she's just going to just go for it. But we're going to say this together. Second Chronicles 5, because we're believing that this is going to be a reality at Moms with Swords. The trumpeters and the singers perform together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: He is so good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priest could not continue their work because the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. So just like they did back then, may we say those same words right now. He is so good.
So good.
His faithful love endures forever.
His faithful love endures forever.
He is so good.
He is so good.
His faithful love endures forever.
His faithful love endures forever.
Now, God, at this moment, God, may the glory of the cloud of your presence, that thundercloud, that's in the Hebrew, it's that thundercloud, God. May it inhabit this place. Why the physical roof is on this sanctuary, may it be gone in the spiritual realm, and may it be replaced by the cloud of your glory, God. That cloud that would send them forth, that they would follow, would that replace this physical roof? I just declare it to be forth in Jesus' name. I declare it. We want your reign, God. We want your presence. God, we will be the same if we don't encounter the glory, the weight. God, we came in here with weights of our own makings. Worries about our children, worries about our marriages, worries about our calendar. God, would you exchange those weights with the weightiness of your glory? Because if we take that from this place, our soccer teams will be changed. Our marriages will be changed. Our children will be changed. So God, you are so good, and your faithful love endures forever. Would the cloud of your presence hover heavily over this place, and may it rain down a rhema word that saturates, that cuts away, God, that is a scalpel, that is a fire that burns away the things that are not burning and ignites the logs that have not yet caught on fire. May it be that over these next few moments. Have your way, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. We are going to go where you go. We ask for that nimbus cloud to cover and hover. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Well, it is such a blessing to be with you guys today. I love that you're all moms, because I feel like you totally get my life. Like, today my hair is 75% dry shampoo, so don't get near me with a flame or anything, because it might explode. And I think this is the first day this week I'm not in yoga pants. So I'm just really impressed that all of you guys are here and that the kids are in classes. I know that's always a victory, that they get in here and you get in here and you're like, okay, I can take a breath now. We made it. Joy asked me to come share my just story with you. And I love where it talks about in Revelation that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so many times we can have the knowledge of the word and we hear the word of God, but sometimes we need to see how God works in our everyday life. And so I'm just here to share a little bit about my story. I was the kind of girl that in fifth grade started praying for my future husband. And God just started doing a work where I would just pray, Lord, just help him to be a godly man and worth the wait. Literally, in fifth grade, like, are you kidding me? What in the world? But my mom taught me that. And so I waited for what seemed like forever, didn't date. And so my first boyfriend, my first handhold, my first kiss was my husband, Patrick Price, this amazing, godly man that God just wrote this love story that only he could have done. Like, it was just such a gift. He was hilarious, so funny. He was every bit of 6'5", so he was really tall, pale, and handsome. One of those people that made everyone jealous because he could eat like an entire sleeve of Oreos and have a six pack, and here I'd like smell it and feel like I'm growing a food baby. I was like, yeah, thanks, babe. I wish I had that. So anyways, we got married in 2011 on that stage and that platform. And in our vows, we vowed that we would love each other and that we'd be committed through life's pleasures and through life's pressures, which I just think is such a beautiful thing of what marriage truly is. And so about 6 months later, my husband was like, okay, I think it's time to have a baby. And I was like, okay, great idea. I'm not ready yet, but whatever the Lord has. And so we got pregnant with our first little guy. And some of you know this, like survival mode USA, but we had 3 kids in 3 years. So in 2015, I had 3 kids under the age of 3. So my life was kind of like whack-a-mole. You get one down for nap, the next one pops up, you get the next one up. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I always called it just survivalville because even though there's so many precious moments, it was so crazy. And so at the time, I had just given birth to my third little guy, Nathan, and we had this crazy pregnancy where we didn't know if he was going to even make it. And so a lot of battle and prayer over this precious baby that arrived perfectly healthy and against all odds of what was we were told by the doctors, which was such a gift from God. And so anyways, we were in this crazy, crazy season. And I would often text my husband and just say, our life is insane, but I feel so blessed that I get to live this life in this dream together with you. Because it is a privilege to do this. It's a privilege to be a mom. It's a privilege to be a wife. And I dreamed my entire life of doing this. And so in the fall of 2015, in fact, exactly 2 years from next week, it was that crazy season. My husband called me from work one day and he was like, hey babe, the computer systems at work are down today, which he worked for the state of Georgia. So when the computer systems are down, you're like, well, that is crazy. So he said, hey, I was supposed to meet with the guy I'm discipling tonight, but instead I'm gonna come today and that way he can help you put down the boys tonight. I was like, yes, I will take every help I can getting the kids down. So he met with this guy and was encouraging him in purity and his walk with the Lord. And at one point, they were talking about end times. And Patrick said, you know, whenever the Lord is ready for me, I'm ready. Like, I'm prepared. And that's how we should live every moment of our lives, prepared for whatever God has. And so that night, he helped me put the kids down for bed like he always did and did daddy time. And I remember a couple hours later, you know, we'd always go in, do you guys do this when they're asleep? Because they look so angelic and like they're not giving you attitudes. You know, they're not using my toothbrush in the toilet or flushing things down the toilet and singing happy birthday like anybody else's kids do that. or the crazy thing is cutting every single one of my ponytail holders that they found in the house. Maybe my kids are the only ones that do that too. But when they're sleeping, they're just so precious. And so we'd always go over and pray over them when they were sleeping. Well, when Patrick walked in there, Peyton, our oldest, he wasn't quite yet 3, was awake, which was a really rare thing. And so he said, do you know Daddy loves you? I love you this much. And Peyton's like, I love you this much. And of course, Patrick won the award because he was 6'5". So his arms were like as big as a stage, you know, I love you this much. And I just remember him walking in and saying, what a sweet moment. I cannot believe that I get to be daddy to these boys. And just relishing in that sweet little moment that you get at the end of the day. And so I don't know about you, but in marriage, there's so many nights, and most of marriage is the mundane, right? It's choosing joy, it's choosing happiness, it's choosing love. It's not always these amazing, breathtaking, passionate moments. And that night was one of those rare nights that I just remember thinking, I will never forget these conversations. And my husband was in law enforcement, and so there was a huge case going down the next morning with life versus death. And so we talked so much about eternity and about heaven and the gift of life and just the gift of the cross of Jesus Christ and that we have the opportunity to live because of Jesus. And we literally were like, man, who would die in our lives that would just shake us? And we talked about each of us and how we wanted to be intentional with our time. We literally pulled out our calendars and we're like, okay, who do we need to see to be intentional with? Our grandparents, we don't know how much longer we have left with them, and made plans. And we had this beautiful time of prayer, like we always did, before we went to bed. And I just remember falling asleep in his arms and being so exhausted from our day, but literally just praising Jesus and saying, God, I'm so thankful I don't have to do this life alone. So the next morning, after not much sleep, as you can imagine, with newborns and toddlers that were up a lot of the night, my husband was like, since I didn't sleep much anyways, I'm just going to go ahead and go to work. And I was struggling at the time, and this is not something I always share, but I feel I had to share it this morning, but I was struggling at the time with an issue after birth of my third child, where if I lifted, it would increase the pain, it would be difficult throughout the rest of the day. And during the night, I was up a lot with our toddler. He was dealing with fear and was just praying and just really like asking God for victory over him. And as a result, was picking him up a lot. And so I was in a lot of pain that morning. And I remember thinking, I need to tell Patrick, like, tomorrow I need you to help out more in the middle of the night because I have to deal with the babies the rest of the day and it's hard with this pain. And in that moment, right before I said it, the Holy Spirit said, Brittany, don't say that. And there was nothing wrong with what I was going to say. It was a fact, right? It wasn't complaining. I was just saying, you know, I'm struggling with this. I need help. But I distinctly remember the Holy Spirit saying, Brittany, don't say that. So I shut my mouth and I said, babe, you look so hot in that suit. and we said, love each other and we'll see you soon. And those were my last words. And so he went to work, and much like you guys this morning, I got all my kids ready to go to Bible study because that's what we did on Tuesday morning. Got them in their groups and did the victory dance because they went in without crying, which never happens. I mean, sometimes you want to walk out there and you're like, woo, we made it today, because I felt like all hell broke loose at my house before I got to Bible study today. So we got to Bible study and I dropped them off, and I shoot my husband a quick text and I was like, you'd be so proud of him. They actually didn't cry today. And I went in my group and we were studying the book of Revelation. And the question was posed, why do we even study Revelation? Like, why do we study prophecy? And I'm nursing my tiny little newborn. And I said, you know, for me, I study prophecy because it gives me confidence to trust God no matter what happens in my life, to know he's gone before us. He knows what's going on and we can trust him no matter what's going on. Literally 30 seconds later, my phone rang, and like any good Bible study girl, I ignored the phone call. And the second time it rang, I just felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me. It's something with Patrick. And so I answered it and I ran out, and it was my husband's boss. And he said, hey, has Patrick been sick lately? He had a fall at work. And I was like, no, he's a perfectly healthy 30-year-old man. I mean, I just saw him this morning. And because he was in law enforcement, they said, and it was raining, he said, why don't we just come get you to bring you to the hospital? He's, you know, he's sick. There's something that's gone on. And I was like, okay, so we'll be there. And so I figured out childcare for my kids, and I waited in the rain. And come to find out later on, there was like 4 different vehicles that were sent to come get me. And like 3 of them got in car accidents on the way, which is crazy because of the rain. It was just a really rainy September day. And so I waited for literally an hour in the rain just saying, get me to my man. I want to get there. I know he's cracking up the nurses right now and joking about everything, but I need to get to my man. And so we were going through, like I told you, my son was walking through fear at the time. And so we were talking about the verse, the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And so we were singing a little song about that. And literally in the rain was this moment where I could think of nothing but that verse. Like, it was like the Holy Spirit was screaming that in my head. The peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And so after waiting in the rain for an hour, the law enforcement vehicle agency like came, picked me up. The lady said, I'm so sorry about what happened. You know, he's unconscious right now. And I said, it's okay. Like, I know we can trust God. Like, I know he's sovereign and he'll get through whatever is ahead of us. It was just like the Holy Spirit took over me because, hello, my name's Brittany. I'm a big sinner and I have tons of flesh. And so the Lord was just taking over in that moment. And so we drove another hour to Grady Hospital in Atlanta. And I remember getting out of the car and God telling me, Brittany, soak up this moment. You need to remember every bit of this. I got out of the vehicle and I ran. And I just remember I had boots on and the puddles and like just water everywhere. I remember there was a taxi over there. I remember there's this homeless people, there's other people getting out of a vehicle. And I ran into the hospital and security was waiting for me. They brought me back and I literally ran as fast as I could into a hallway with people with sorrow written all over their faces, and I knew what was coming. They sat me down and they said, "Brittany, we're so sorry. Patrick died. His heart just stopped beating and we don't know why he died." And in that moment, I said, "The Lord is good. He gives and takes away. The Lord is so good." And I started singing this song that I hadn't thought of in so long. "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am alone. Through the storm, through the night, take my hand to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on." And in that moment, at the age of 25, I became a widow with three little boys under the age of 3 that are now fatherless. And y'all, God became so real in that moment. When the gap was huge in our lives because of Patrick, God filled it up in an even greater way. And I remember just being there like, okay, how do I even process this? And as I'm sitting there, God's like, "Oh, Brittany, you need to go tell his coworkers about me." And I'm like, "God, if there's ever a pass to not do what I don't want to do, I think it's now." Like, my husband just died and you're telling me to tell these people about Jesus? And I just felt like the Lord was like, "I am not calling you to comfort. I'm calling you to obedience." And that's when I first just realized that walking in the will of God is not comfortable, but it is so much greater than we could ever do because obedience brings joy. And so I remember I got up and I just said, "You guys, we got hit over the heads with eternity today. And I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but I knew where Patrick stood with the Lord. And he is in the presence of Jesus because he had a relationship with Jesus, not because of religion and not because of doing certain things or good things, but because he had a relationship with Jesus Christ." And I just talked with him. And I just remember moments later, one of our family friends came, and of course, nobody knows, what do you say in those moments? I mean, it's like the most awkward moments, and I hate being awkward. So I'm like, "Hi, welcome to my awkward life now." So she comes in, and I just remember looking at her and telling her, "Patrick died so people could come to know Jesus. Like, the gospel has got to be made known because this is too painful to be wasted." And moments later, my newborn, of course, didn't take a bottle, never did take a bottle. And so here I'm at this hospital, like, heard my husband died, and I'm like, "Oh, now I have to go feed my baby." Like, what? This is crazy. And so I remember they handed me a bag, and it was all I had left of Patrick. And it was his wallet and his watch and his phone and his wedding ring. And I just remember thinking, I came in here such a happy wife, and I'm walking away a widow with a bag, and that's it. And just goes to show that when you leave this world, you leave everything with it. And all you bring is what you did for Jesus. And so I remember going back to the house and thinking, how do I explain this to my kids? My 3-year-old, or he was about to turn 3 the next day, it was his birthday. And I had done all the food prep and we had done all these plans and it all revolved around his hero, Daddy. And I'm like, how do you even explain this to your kids? And so I sat him down and I said, "Daddy died and he's in heaven with Jesus and he's not coming back. But God's not going to leave us alone. He's going to be a father to you." And he said something really profound like, "Okay, can I go play now?" And so he went and played. And that night, I was trying to keep things as just normal as I could. And so I was at my brother's house, and I said, "Pick out any book." And I was going to read it to him. So he picked out this book. And the whole book, this is just how God works, was about this daddy telling their son about heaven and about Jesus. And my son was like, "Is that the heaven that Daddy's in? Is that my daddy telling me about Jesus?" And I was like, "Yes, buddy, it is." But that's something only the Holy Spirit could do. And my middle at the time, he was 21 months old, and he had never said the word mommy. Not because he couldn't, but because he wanted. He's one of those kids, you know, anyone got those? So that night, he was just in his bed, and all he could do was cry, "Daddy, and Daddy, and Daddy." And after crying for a long time, I went up there in the dark of the night, and I just remember holding my little baby and just literally through tears singing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And I know God holds a future, and life is worth the living because Jesus lives. And just claiming that over my life, and every part of my life, in our marriage, in our friendship, came to mind that day. And I can honestly say I had no regrets. Not because I didn't make mistakes or because I'm not sinful, like I told you, I'm a big sinner, but because Jesus was so faithful that in the moments of sin, he would convict us and bring us to our knees so that we could restore our relationship. And then I thought, God, you are so gracious. That morning, the last thing I said to my husband could have been about the pain I was walking through, but God was so precious. He cared so much about me that he would give me that still small voice that said, Brittany, be quiet, do not say that. And so my last words were affirming to my husband and that I loved him. And I was so thankful for that gift and so thankful that God is the God that sees and the God that cares. And that night, I tried to get some sleep and I just woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, I'll never have a little girl with Patrick's blue eyes. All those dreams of what I had with him. I said, God, how do I even dream? How do I even go on? I don't know how to do life without this man. And y'all, God became so evident in our lives that God is greater than grief. He is greater than pain. And so we walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And I love the wording that God says that we walk through the valley of shadow of death. And sometimes we're crawling. Like literally crawling along. And sometimes you're running, but you have to keep moving. So when you're in pain, I just remember God giving me that word picture. Brittany, you have to keep moving. You can't stand. It doesn't say we stand in the valley of the shadow of death. It says that we walk through the valley of shadow of death. We have to keep moving, whatever it is, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And God became doing such a work through the power of the Holy Spirit and his word. And I remember God giving me this word picture saying, Brittany, don't feel your pain, feel your pain. Because so many times we can fill it with good things. And I had an amazing group of people loving on us. So every night when I lived by myself with these three little babies, I could have filled up my nights and been like, hey, can I have a friend come over? Can we have do this? Let's watch a movie, whatever. But I felt like God just told me, Brittany, stay in my presence and feel it all. And so I would tuck my babies into bed and they would cry almost every night. My three-year-old would say, why can't daddy be here? Why can't I go to heaven? Why can't I see him? I don't understand this, mommy. I want to see him. And I would say, I do too, buddy. But God is not finished with you yet. If God was finished with you, we would not be here. And God was finished with daddy, and he has a legacy, and God is using it for his glory, and that is why he's in heaven. But God is not finished with this yet. And I would just hold my babies, and I would look them in the eyes and say, God's got a special plan for your life. All while choking back the tears, going, God, why? In my own heart, and questioning. And I'd pray over them and kiss on them, and I would get in my living room, and I remember time after time just laying down in my living room, weeping, saying, God, I can't do this another moment unless you step in. This is too hard. This is too painful. God, show up. You've got to be my hope, and you've got to come through. And y'all, every time that I laid before God in humility and said, God, I cannot do this without you, every single time God would meet me in that broken place in my house when nobody could see, with my exhaustion laying before God, he would say, Brittany, keep holding on. I am not finished with you yet. And I would cling to that. And I remember one time when I was praying before God, he gave me the verse that says, I would have despaired if I would have not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I remember God saying, you have to believe that you'd see my goodness in the land of the living. And I was like, Lord, okay, what does this look like? And I remember reading that and thinking something. And since Psalm 27, if you're looking for it, But I had never noticed it said Land of the Living before. Like, normally you'd think, why would you put that in there? But I was walking through death, death of dreams, death of hopes, death of my reality. Like, who am I even more? Like, now I'm a widow. I'm not a wife. Like, how do you even, you know, process that? And God said, there's hope in the land of the living. I'm not done even on this earth, Brittany. You have got to believe and not despair, because you will despair unless you believe you will see my goodness. And then he gave me the other verse that says, behold, I am doing a new work. You will see streams in the desert. And I felt like I was walking through such a desert. And God would just tell me, Brittany, you can blossom in this desert or you can blend in with the sand. And the sand is dry and it's not producing fruit. There's no growth. And it just stays the same the rest of your life. You can either be clouded by grief and clouded by pain, or you can say, God, use this to remove everything else so I can see the sun. And that's how God uses. And so I would cling to those verses. And as I clung to God's word and I said, God, you promised to heal the broken heart. Like, God, I'm holding you to this promise. And I would take God's word and say, God, you promised this. So you better follow through. I know you can do this, God. And so as I began to read his word and had awesome counselors that loved Jesus and would hold me to it and ask me the hard questions, God began to do something he could only do. And he began to heal my heart. And I remember one day calling my mom and I said, Mom, this is so weird, but I feel so contentment, like just so much contentment right now. And I feel happiness. And there's nothing in my life that's changed. I still miss Patrick with everything I have. I still cry for him. I still hurt so much for my babies that go to birthday parties and say, everyone else had a daddy. I don't have a daddy. I'm always by myself, mommy. Everyone else has their daddy to play with them, and we don't have a daddy. And then processing so much. And I was like, Mom, there's still so much hurt and pain, but I feel so content because I know God's put me here. Like, I had just heard from God, this is my will. Like, I didn't have a choice over my circumstance, but I had a choice of how I was going to steward the circumstances God gave me. And I began to feel this happiness knowing, God, you have me here for a reason. So I can either blossom again or I can blend in. And I'm choosing, Lord, I'm choosing you in this. And my counselors were all telling me, you know, you're in a good place right now, in a good place of healing. And I was like, oh God, this is kind of scary. What do you have next for me? This is crazy to be walking through this. But God had done it. God had done something in my heart. And I was, as a result of walking through pain and grief, I just was like, God, this is too painful to be wasted. So how can I encourage other people through this? And so I began to share, and God's word talks about to comfort those as you have been comforted. And not, I have nothing figured out, y'all, at all. I do not have it all together. I don't have, oh, if you do steps 1 through 10, then you're going to get through grief and pain in a great way. No, everyone's journey is so different. But what I can say is I know what it feels like to be in pain and to hurt, and God's going to be faithful. And so that's what I began to do, is just try to encourage people that were walking through pain. And as a result, I was dealing with this family that was walking through, their mom just died, and so I was trying to love on their family. And as a result, this widower was also loving on the same family. And here's this other person that had experienced a great amount of pain that said, I'm not going to waste this pain. I'm going to use it for God's glory. And they had 2 adopted children, and his wife had passed away a month before Patrick. And so they were on the same kind of timeline and pain. And God began to write this story in my life, and I began to fall in love with this man that walked through the same thing, who also had such a heart for people to get eternity, that he was willing to do whatever it takes to pray for the souls of people and to walk his kids through, not keeping their eyes on the grave, but keeping their eyes on heaven. And so God began working this amazing story. And 2 months ago, I married Daniel Brooker, which is just a crazy story in itself. And now we're the Brooker Bunch, which is kind of like the Brady Bunch, but we got 5 kids, and they're all tiny. So up until a week ago, it was 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. So I thought I was tired before, but now I'm even more tired, y'all. And it's crazy. But God began to just do such a work through his word, and he still is doing it. And we're still walking through the valley. And last night, as I was preparing to share with you guys, I was studying a little bit of our story, and I just started weeping because the pain is still raw. the sting of death is still here because we live in a broken world. And I still don't understand why my husband died. We still don't know medically why he died, but we can trust God through it. And so even now, as I was sharing with my husband last night about just how raw this can be, I felt like God uses pain. And for me, reminders of grief, especially this month, because as I was like even thinking about telling you about it today, it's so real to my heart right now because this weather and these memories are my freshest memories. That were my last with Patrick and my first with my little baby that doesn't know his, you know, biological father. And so anyways, as I share this, I was telling him, I feel like God just wants me to share from my heart instead of sharing my message that I normally do with you ladies. And that is, if there's one thing that I can tell you guys to do, and one thing I want you to take away from my story, is that God is so real and eternity is so real. We live so much for today and in this moment that we miss out on the greatest thing ahead of us. I love what Francis Chan says. He said, if you put a rope and across this entire room, today in this life is this much of that rope and the rest is eternity. Yet we spend so much of our times and our affection on this little part that we miss on the forever. And God cares so much about our eternal happiness that he will not let us get bogged down on this earthly comfort. And God uses suffering as a way to sharpen up our minds and let us realize that this world is not our home and we are just passing through. And I know in a room full of these beautiful ladies and faces that I'm looking at, that there is a lot of pain and suffering. It may look like your marriage. It may look like miscarriage. It may be that you are so exhausted in the season of motherhood and you feel like, what am I doing? I'm living in the mundane. And to that, I want to encourage you. God is doing an internal work in the hearts and the souls of your kids as you are changing diapers. As I was doing laundry at midnight last night and making oatmeal at 6 a.m. this morning, if I am doing it with a heart and an act to the Lord, we can be making an eternal difference in the hearts of our kids, even in the mundane, even in the marriage that you're like, this is not where I thought I'd be right now. God, why is it this way? I've worked so hard. Keep praying, keep working, because eternity is real and God has a purpose even in that. But we have an opportunity in our suffering to either choose to stay in that and be of a life of bitterness and resentment and ugliness. You know those people that walk in the room and they just smell bitterness. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of like those teenage boys after a football practice that walk in. You know what I'm saying? You smile them a mile and you're like, boy, you need some deodorant or Tic Tac or something because you're best. Thanks. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's so many people in us. When we walk through suffering, we can have two different smells and aromas of us. We can either walk through suffering and smell like bitterness and resentment. And you know, you don't even have to say anything. You can see that all over people's face. I am hurt. I'm alone. Nobody gets this. Nobody gets the pain I'm in. Oh, this is so difficult. And you know, I can even do that now. Say, God, you give me five grieving kids that are emotionally unstable walking through this, four sets of families and in-laws and all this different stuff. God, this is difficult. Nobody understands. Nobody else at 27 has to deal with all this craziness. Or I can say, God, you have walked me through this. I am choosing you in the midst of this, and I am not going to be resentful. I am not going to have bitterness. God, show me how to be the aroma of Christ in this, so that when I walk into a room, people are not seeing the bitterness and resentment, but that we can smell the aroma of Christ in our suffering. And that's something that I feel like God just put in me from an early stage, is you get on your knees and you confess that sin before me of the pride, resentment, bitterness, all those ugliness that can come in us with our suffering, and say, God, use me for your glory. And we have an opportunity. And I just want to share this one verse, and I literally could not get this off my heart last night and today. Oh, of course, it's not coming up right now. Okay, this is just such an incredible scripture, and it's not coming up on my phone. Go for it. So we're going to read this version. Okay, it's Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. When I read that, I'm like, wow, you definitely know my heart, because some of my sin and some of my struggles and hurt can so entangle me. And let us run this race with endurance that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the throne of God. And it says, for consider him, God, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And yesterday, I was having a little date day with my husband, and we're going through these trails, and I fell on this root, and I started bleeding. I have, like, stuff all over me. I cracked my phone screen, and it was just, like, I was in pain. And normally, I would have, like, 3 years ago, I would have been sick the rest of the day about my phone screen. You know what I mean? But when you walk through death and pain, I'm like, what's a phone screen? Who cares? Like, we're alive and let's do this thing. God's going to provide. Who cares? But I was stumbling as we were finishing, and I'm like, great, we have 3 miles to go. We've already done 2 miles. So we were walking, and this biker came up, and I said, hey, how much longer do we have? And he said, you know, I think you're like a mile away. And when I heard that I knew where the finish line was, I was like, see you later, babe. I got this. And I started running as fast as I could towards the finish line. And God just gave me this word for you guys and just spoke into my heart. And he was like, in your race that you're walking through, sometimes we stumble, sometimes we fall, and things entangle us. Like that root entangled my foot and I fell and I got hurt. But God still calls us to get up and run this race with endurance. And I could run because I knew the finish line was soon and short ahead of me. Because when we feel like it's forever, I mean, does that give us any encouragement? Like, I have a marathon ahead of me, thanks. But in the midst of our suffering, so many times we can be like, God, this is the rest of my life. The rest of my life is gonna be hard. Thanks for the pain, or whatever we can say. But when we know this is not the end, this is not forever, we can run so much faster, fixing our eyes on the finish line. And my eyes were fixed on the finish line, and I sprint out, and my husband was like a half a mile behind me because I was like, get me through this. As I was running, God said, Brittany, this is like your life. I have called you to keep your eyes on the prize in the finish line and to run this race with endurance, even through your pain that you're experiencing right now. Even though my body was in pain, but my heart was in pain yesterday, and I was wrestling through so much stuff. And God said, lay it all aside. Lay the encumbrances aside and fix your eyes on me. And when we start running and we have that endurance, you know, you get that runner's high where the pain falls off because you're just so focused on the prize. This verse talks about this. He said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he said, throw aside every sin, everything that entangles you and encumbers you so that you can run with endurance, because I can't run when there's heavy things on me. I can't run when I'm thinking about my pain and how my leg hurts. I can't run this race with endurance when all I can think about is my own pain and I cannot see past the cloud of grief in my head. But when we say, God, show me what is entangling my heart. Let me throw this aside, God. Would you give me this endurance to run with my eyes fixed on the prize? And you know what the prize is? King Jesus. And you guys, I cannot wait to see my King. And last night, as I was praying and grieving and walking through this, I was saying, Jesus, thank you for this pain. Because pain, God can use in a way to throw aside everything else and show you what really matters in this life. And last night, all I could think about was y'all's hearts and that you would get eternity. And that eternity is so real and that it matters. And so that is my one challenge to you today, is that as you hear this story, may you see God's goodness and his faithfulness. But y'all, we don't have anything perfect. I don't have anything together. But I want you to see that the gospel is real and that God is a God that sees and cares. He could see my little boys praying for a new daddy and crying when I'm like, how could you even think about that right now? And he could hear their hearts when I couldn't process that. And he could see that he had things ahead and he had ministry ahead and he had a message that he knew it would take death to awaken hearts to life. And at my husband's funeral, I remember on the way just feeling this expectancy that God was going to show up. I mean, I was like, I could feel him in that car with me, holding my little newborn's hand. And I just remember being like, God, I know you're going to show up. And Patrick and I prayed every night that whatever it takes, God would use us for his kingdom. And we'd pray for his coworkers that had such hardened hearts towards the gospel. And y'all, over 100 people got saved at his funeral. And most of them were his coworkers that we had prayed for, that whatever it took. And so there's moments where we can say, God, you know what? Actually, when I said use me and grow me and sanctify me, I really meant through comfort. Like, can we just have that awesome Joanna Gaines house, please? Can I look like my Pinterest board? Can I like be in shape and have a six pack? Oh, wait a second, I have stretch marks because of kids. Whatever it may be that you're processing that you're like, oh God, please just use that in my life to sanctify and grow me. That's what I meant. Instead of God saying, it takes the hard, the tough things in life that you are running and you are stumbling in that race, that it sanctifies us and uses for the kingdom of God. And so I can truly say that God used whatever it takes. And sometimes it takes death to self. Sometimes it takes my situation where you just don't even get. Sometimes you can't even wrap your head around it. But God used it for his glory. Praise the Lord. And so I just want to challenge you that you would live your life for eternity. I don't want it to take what I had to go through for you to get eternity. Y'all, it is so real. Realer than what you are wearing today or even being here. I mean, I can taste heaven sometimes because I have such a heart for it. And I want you guys to have that today. And so we're gonna go into a time of prayer. And I really, let's just, y'all, just come on in my living room with me and just act like you're doing it with me, but let's just get on our knees together and let's get before God in this, in just humility. I love what it talks about how God inhabits the praise of his people. And when we go humbly before the throne in praise, he always meets with us. And so if there is a hurt or a pain that you're walking through, ask God to show you what it looks like to hear from him in the midst of it. Ask God, say, I want to use this for your glory, whatever it looks like. If there's a sin or a hurt or a pain or something that is easily entangling you, like it talks about in Hebrews, ask God to show it to you. Let this room be a place where chains are broken and lives are set free so you can run faster towards the prize of Christ Jesus. I'm going to pray for us and then we're just going to go in a time of prayer together. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are real and that you are the God that sees and cares. Thank you so much that heaven is real, that you overcame death so that we could live with you, that I can stand before the grave of Patrick and I can tell my boys, he is not here because Jesus is alive. He overcame death so that we could live in abundancy of Christ. Lord, I just pray out here, Lord, for all of these precious ladies, that you would be so real to them this moment, Lord, that you would anoint this place with your presence and your peace, that you would convict lies and challenge us, Lord. Show us what is in our hearts that we need to reveal to you, that we need to pray and confess before you, Lord, so that we can run this race stronger than we've ever done before. Even through the hurts and hurdles in our lives, Lord, that we will fix our eyes on Jesus. And Lord, thank you so much for that word that talks about that we would not toil in vain and we would not get discouraged. Lord, in a room that is this big, there's a lot of discouraged mamas out here. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word to encourage their lives and remind them that they are seen and that you are a God that is pulling them up out of their hardship and pulling them to their feet and saying, I am gonna carry you through this. And you are going to walk through each of our steps of our lives, Lord. I pray that you would work in a mighty way, Lord, in your spirit, Lord. We just praise you in Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Prayer leaders, if you'll just make your way in the back, let's just sit in this moment for a second. Let's not rush. We've got time. The Holy Spirit is at work in this room. I can feel Him. I can see and sense Him moving in heart. So, mamas, if you need prayer, Brittany's going to be back there. Our prayer leaders are going to be back there. Would you just, we're going to play another song and let the Holy Spirit work and move and have His way. Don't pass this time by. If you need prayer, if you need healing, the healer is here. If you need freedom, the chain breaker is here. Let Him have His way in this room. If you don't need prayer, just stay in a posture of prayer, and then we'll just go to our prayer groups. But let's just let Him move for a little while in the room.